Hello and welcome to the Death of the Roman Republic.
Netflix review of the 2005 HBO original series, Rome. All right, well, season two is done here. Death of the Roman Republic is reviewing exclusively season two. And we will talk about the whole series in context of HBO's Rome in another episode. But tonight, I have four hosts, seven questions. Immunity up for grabs. First question to the panel. Thoughts on season two as a whole? Who was going to take the first stab at this? I can go ahead and start. Why not? It'd be really funny if I just imitated your voices like throughout this whole night. But anyways.
Get a soundboard.
Get a soundboard. It's just Jacob doing arf arf. Okay, as I said last episode, I think that Rome sticks the landing, does not have a satisfying conclusion. To explain a little bit more, season two is decent TV, but severely suffers from only having 10 episodes, even compared to season one, which had 12. Like, two more hours really would have helped this season. Episodes 7, 8, 9, and 10 are supposed to span 11 years of history, and what suffers the most is characters changing or experiencing significant things off-screen, and this is well exemplified in what Jacob was talking about last ep, among other things, that we don't actually see the Battle of Actium and how it breaks Antony's spirit. We see Antony's broken spirit, but not the thing that breaks it. And sure, there's the show trusts you to be intelligent and to pick up on implications, but overall, the show suffers from not showing us stuff given its time constraints, I think, not through the fact of the actors or showrunners. As they say in showbiz, that's showbiz, baby. But my fellow hosts, your thoughts on season two as a whole?
I liked the season. I enjoyed it. It had its issues, but I don't have a whole lot to say because my biggest grievances with it are the pacing issues, which I feel we have beaten to death over the course of our discussions on this season.
Fair enough.
I have it in one sentence. It started fine. It got great. And then it ended fine. Built up to some really great episodes, and then it just kind of went back to, it's fine.
Okay. And Jacob?
It's disappointing. Is what it is, because I do think that season one is really phenomenal and some of my favorite things. Like, as someone who's seen all television at this point, one of my favorite, like, you know, seasons of a show I've seen. And I mean, for the reasons that we have beaten to a pulp, it just gets so messy. There's so many moving parts. And they're all moving so quickly that it just, like, I don't know, it for some reason doesn't feel as pure or as clean as season one. And that's like a very vague and unspecific descriptor of like how I feel about the season. But like, I don't know, it's weird to say it doesn't feel like Rome when it is literally 50% of Rome as a series. And so by definition, it is Rome and how it like is. But it just doesn't feel like how I remember season one feeling. It doesn't feel put together carefully and cautiously. It feels thrown together haphazardly. And it just stinks because I think a lot of the characters are really strong. That's always been what I think has been the strongest thing about Rome, is that it's got really, really interesting characters that maneuver in very interesting ways that are usually true to their character. And so those moments are all still strong, but like the grand scheme of narrative gets just lost. And so, yeah, just it's messy and disappointing, but still fine.
Fair enough, Jacob. Fair enough. Next question, folks. Biggest surprise of season two?
My biggest surprise, Tymon having a character arc, because he was a side character in season one that got pretty much no development whatsoever, or if there was, I don't remember much of it because it was very little. And I was very surprised that when they were going through the leftovers of season one that they said, let's give Tywin the character arc. And that was a very big surprise for me. Not speaking positively or negatively. I was just, that no, was a very big surprise.
I'm going to add on to you, BP, really quick in a way that will surprise you. I think arcs like Tywin's are part of the reason season two is disappointing because it adds to the messiness. Overall, like, I kind of enjoyed getting to know Tywin, but I think his impact on the grand narrative can be boiled down to the one scene where he doesn't kill Servilia, and that's about it. And so the inclusion of a lot of those arcs is also what kind of makes this season disappointing.
All right. Jacob, do you want to go ahead and share your biggest surprise while you're
yeah,
at it?
Yeah, my biggest surprise while we're here was just Varenus dying. I guess I just didn't see it coming. He was so vital to the show and really, in my opinion, kind of the heartbeat of it all. And, you know, in hindsight, it doesn't surprise me, but I was surprised to see it actually happen. And in such a non-grand way, which I think is like a nice little statement about like the life of a soldier. But at this point, it just kind of felt like him and Polo had like main character armor, and no matter what, they were never going to die. And for him to be like mortally wounded in just a small little like nothing skirmish is like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming.
And still hold on for a month.
Yeah.
Speaking of beating things to death. But all right, Cole, your biggest surprise?
Well, I don't really have much to say now because my biggest surprise was also Varenus dying, and
yeah, sorry,
Jacob took the words out of my mouth.
All right, I you know, that might happen a few times tonight. My biggest surprise was Servilia's death. I did not, you know, my first time watching this, did not expect Servilia would die in the manner that she did, or even at all, really. And I guess in hindsight, if you're critically paying attention to the show, you know, logically, what would Servilia do after Brutus's death, who she's invested her entire life in? And I guess it kind of makes sense in that regard. It was nonetheless surprising for me, I suppose.
Question for you. I'm just wondering, and I know we have a spot in this episode where we do ask questions, but since we're on the topic of Servilia's death, she doesn't die by suicide in real history, correct?
Nope, she, I mean, I don't think there's an exact year precisely given to her death, but it, old lady of natural causes is essentially what we have to assume. She might have even lived to see Octavian take out Antony and Cleopatra and become emperor, which is dark, but all right, next question, guys. What would you change about season two? I will go ahead and take, and I will also say there's a lot of questions similar to this later on. We'll touch on later in the night, so we'll have a chance to take a lot of shots here on this topic. But anyways, I will go first here. I, you know, maybe when we were reviewing stuff, try to stick up a bit for the Tywin character arc, which was very contentious for some of us maybe. And I will say that Tywin ultimately seems like a nothing character for many ways. Jacob had started to explicate Tywin's arc. You know, it starts with refusing to engage in violence with Adia, and then he goes to assaulting corrupt men with Levi, and then he refuses to kill a corrupt man with Levi, so he accidentally kills Levi and he exits the show. And I don't see the point of this arc, because love or hate Adia, her arc shows that getting what you want doesn't always feel good. Antony's arc is the story of a man who gets lost in his vices, and I don't know what Tywin's story is supposed to tell us about this society or the human condition, and it ultimately wastes valuable time, in my opinion. Him just killing his brother exited off the next episode. Yeah, doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I mostly agree. That's probably mostly mine. It's like, as I said, I just think there's several minor arcs like that. That one's the most like egregious that I think the show would be better off not having.
I would have liked to have seen more of Cleopatra's political intelligence. And the reason why this kind of bothers me, the more I think about it, to the episode where they read Caesar's will, and I think it's episode two that they do that. Why in the world would Cleopatra, one, come to Rome after Caesar has been murdered and everyone who led the coup is still in Rome? Why would she bring Caesarion, even though we know that he's not really Caesar's son? She still brings him along. And so that, to me, just doesn't seem like the smartest move politically. And from what I've read about Cleopatra in historical context, she seemed a lot smarter than the show let her out to be. And in the final episode, we do get some moments of smart maneuvering from her, but I would have liked to have seen more from that and how she was able to do a lot more than just sit and smoke opium and be... like, she would use her beauty in ways to get her way with politics, but she wouldn't try to be, like, the sex symbol of Egypt, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Cole?
My change is that I would flesh Maecenas out more. Like, I feel like, honestly, we could have used it for Agrippa, too, but, like, it always felt like Maecenas was just kind of there to be, like, the snarky, like, bad boy, I guess, quote unquote, to like Agrippa's like good guy, but like he doesn't feel like he really does anything. He's just there to like be like Octavian has to be in charge, so he can't be the snarky one, so someone else has to be. But like, I would have liked to like have learned more about him and have him do more.
There are two wolves inside me. One is named Agrippa. One is named Maecenas. Jacob.
I agree, Cole. Because we'll talk about the best new characters of this season, and I think Maecenas is the worst new character of the season. Because he feels like he should be of importance, but in the grand scheme of things, he absolutely isn't. And I also think affects the narrative almost zero.
Okay.
I feel like it's almost like what they did to Lepidus, they kind of did to Maecenas, but like without
meaning to. But for, yeah, exactly. For Lepidus, it's a statement. As a triumvir, for Maecenas, it's just, oh, we brought this guy around, and he's a dude. That's it.
You know, you guys bringing up Lepidus made me remember he existed in the show. All right.
Unceremoniously question. Never mentioned again. After,
indeed,
like,
indeed, yeah.
Sent to Africa, yeah.
In the scope of the whole season, how do you feel about the Octavian actor change? I think, Jacob, you wanted this question to be asked in the first place. I'll let you answer this first.
I can lead. I have trouble dissecting my feelings and parsing out the fact that maybe I just don't like the actor, or maybe the portrayal of Octavian would always go this unsatisfying way once he grows up. Because we talked about a lot of like the fun of Octavian was his boyish charm, but he still, like, he had charm, and now he's grown up and he had this actor, I think is charmless. And that is even stated to, like, explicitly in the final episode. And I don't know. I don't know what to think, if it is truly this had to happen. Octavian had to become no fun ever, or if it is the actor. And I think I lean towards not liking the actor. Because, like, I don't know, there is still humanity to Octavian that I think is there and present that we don't see that well. The only manifestation of it is, like, probably, like, the weird sex stuff that happens. And that's about it. And so I think I dislike the actor. I think that's what I'll land on cautiously.
So I'll add on to that, Jacob. I think part of the fun and appeal of young Octavian character is, like, he's a charming boy, high level of that, and charming, high level of political acumen. And then new Octavian comes around and he lowers on boyish charm, dare say zero. And also, as I've said, he gets weirdly dumber as the series progresses, in my opinion. And when, you know, he's normally been rational and pragmatic, or even Cleo's last line of him having a rotten soul actually gets under his skin. The only thing that got under Kid Octavian's skin was Adia and Antony assaulting him. He never had a qualm about torturing Evander, Polkio, or breaking other taboos. So I understand why they would want to change actors, but I prefer Kid Octavian, or at least how he functioned in the show.
I am kind of in the same boat. I prefer our young Octavian. Initially, I was more optimistic about it, but as time's passed, I think it's not entirely the actor's fault. Like, I think he's got a big issue where, like, that guy just had, like, he had dead eyes, and it didn't feel like it was, like, the character having dead eyes. I felt like the actor wasn't conveying anything with him.
Interesting.
But also, like, the weird writing of the show, like,
that's
bogged
so
him down.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how good of an actor, like, a person can be. If the character's written, like, weird or bad, it will not be a good character.
I agree. How about you, BP?
My thing with this new Octavian is that I could believe that Octavian's personality ended up the way it did with this new actor, The problem is that because we don't see the build up to that personality, not really changeover, but like the boyish charm being gone and things like that, because we don't see it, it is a little bit hard to buy, and that is obviously due to the rush writing and needing to kind of pick and choose what sticks and what doesn't for the character arcs. And I just don't vibe with him as much because he just seems so dull, and I get that part of it could be intentional.
Yeah. And it's weird for me, like, as you guys said, like, there's an argument to be made that his much colder portrayal reflects that he's just a cold, calculating politician. And, like, I get that take, but, again, also just miss the venom that younger Octavian was spitting and the more fire that he had. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like all of us ultimately prefer younger Octavian at the end of the day for one reason or another.
Yes.
You couldn't have paid me to think that I would miss the old Octavian creeping around under people's beds and in trunks watching them have sex.
You brought up something where the cold, calculating politician part, I think young Octavian still had a lot of that. He could be cold and calculating. The problem is that he's just boring now.
All right. We'll go on, though, to talking about the best new character of season two, or a character that gets significantly more screen time. Who do we want to shout out, guys?
My new favorite character of the season is Livia. I think that she knew exactly what she was going into when Octavian asked her to marry him, and she instantly was able to flip to what Octavian was wanting right away. Somebody made a comment about how Livia acts a lot like Adia. I think that it is so true that I think she tried to pick up a lot of Adia's personality traits because she knows that there's just some kind of weird Oedipus complex thing going on with Octavian and Adia, whether he admits it fully or not. But I think she was able to pick up on some things very quickly and was able to cater to Octavian's needs.
Counterpoint was Livia acting like that in order to stir up Octavian's Oedipus complex, or is she like that and the Oedipus complex is what got the ball rolling?
Oh, that's which came question. First, the chicken or the egg?
Mm-hmm.
Cole, who's your favorite new or significantly more screen time character?
Young teen heartthrob in a high school drama that doesn't fit in this show, Agrippa.
Oh my god.
He is just this awkward, like, dorky kid that feels out of place, but he's got a lot of charm to him. And I mentioned earlier that I wish we'd gotten, like, a bit more, like, fleshed out about him, but I am okay with what he got. His romance with Octavia felt, like, genuine, and also, like, his, like, sadness about, like, or remorse, I guess is a better word, about betraying Octavian, and him, like, sticking to his guns about it when he goes to Octavian saying, yeah, no, like, we're done, I'm not betraying him again, like, made a good impression, and I like him, and I think he was a good addition to the cast.
I'll say it once, and I'll say it again. Make Agrippa a high school foreign exchange student at Euphoria High. Jacob, your favorite new best character, or whatever I said.
I did enjoy Livia a lot, but I will instead give a shout-out to Verena the Elder. You know, kind of is like an actual person to some extent this season.
Yeah.
Like, her characterhood in season one was like, I have a baby. No, I don't. And like, I think she impacts the story. And Verena significantly, like, his entire character arc for the whole series kind of revolves around like winning her back and getting the love of his family. So I enjoyed Verena's contributions.
All right. And my best new character was Jocasta because she's such a ditzy little sweetheart. And it's also always so funny the half a dozen times when Adia says that Jocasta is a bad influence on Octavia.
It never gets old.
And that, God, I'll talk about a gripe I have about Jocasta's character later. But anyways, guys, best episode of season two. I want you to watch my fingers here. I will count down from three. I want us to all say our favorite episode at once. I just want to try something, okay?
Philippi.
All right, let's go,
no
team.
Way.
Okay.
No, I'm so happy.
All right. I'll go first. I said this very, I didn't say too much. Cicero, Brutus, and Cassius all have great send offs. Antony, Swaggery, Octavian, Agrippa consummate their love. That's all I could want.
Like I said in my season two initial thoughts at the beginning, I said the season got great. This is where it was like peak greatness for the season. I love Cicero's end. I think that it was a very satisfying ending for him. I also just love the way Brutus goes out. I love that it's kind of poetic. And this was the showrunner of Rome said that season two was actually, this would have been the finale episode. I think it would have been very fitting knowing that Brutus getting stabbed a bunch of times in battle and ending the season like that would have been a very nice poetic ending from how season one ended with Caesar getting stabbed a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Brutus and Cassius really grew on me throughout season two. And then it felt good that they like got like so much screen time in this episode. And yeah, it's a bummer that they left the show, but it was a great exit. So I can't like complain about it at all.
Yeah. I don't know what else I could add to this point. And I've already belabored, I think, in the episode about Philippi, how much I love this episode. So, yeah, it's incredible, like, performances from Cicero and everyone else. And, yeah, it's phenomenal. It's the show at its best, perhaps.
All right. Let's see.
Arguably the funniest episode, too. Has a lot of funny moments.
I agree, yeah. All right, guys. Most entertaining character of season two. Jacob, I will let you go first so you can have all the floor time you want on this one.
Cicero! It's Cicero. He is the most entertaining. Because, like, I do not feel like there is a wasted Cicero scene. I feel like anytime he is in a scene, like, his intentions are very clear and you really understand what he's doing and why he's doing it. And he's like, we'll get into this, like, where we talk about like things we changed about the entire series next episode. But like, I kind of think Rome loses sight of like the politics and implications of everything near the end of it. But Cicero is like always very conscious of the politics of every single decision and is always on the forefront of his brain. And to me, watching that is very, very entertaining and fascinating. And even till his dying breath, he's delivering 100% of the time. And so, yeah, I got to say, my boy, great orator.
All right. I'll go ahead here and say what I said in season one. Mark Antony is the most entertaining character of season two. Same as he ever was, maintains his excellent characterization as a debaucherous, heavy-handed politician who has little morals other than the pursuit of power for power's sake and a man of violence who revels in it. Now, that's exactly what I said in the season one wrap. However, in this season, we also see him confronted with his own actions and lifestyle and Cicero's denouncement of him. And as he spirals in defeat after the Battle of Actium, we don't see him adapt to these challenges really, but crumble. But nonetheless, James Purefoy puts a lot of humanity in a monstrous performance and puts a lot of dog in him as well.
Okay.
Who else has an entertaining character they want to share?
I can go next. I do want to say as well, I said something similar before. This might have been before we started recording that similar to what I said before. I think Antony is like the obvious, like he's the clear, like most entertaining character, but yeah. Like we don't all want to have the same answer, so you know, like someone needs to talk about him, but we've got to like have fun with some other ones. I chose Adia because she's a messy lady, and I hate the woman, but she's fun to watch, and like she's a bad character, but she's not a badly written character, and it makes for some great watching.
She's like, it's like watching an episode of Real Housewives. You know, you just hate them all. And it's not for me. I can't watch Real Housewives, but Adia is like that.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible that you watch all 20 seasons of Atlanta, of New York, of Los Angeles in your quest to watch all TV there, Jacob.
What can I say?
Some might say it was the most arduous part of his journey.
Indeed. BP, though, your most entertaining character of season two?
Titus Pollo. Seems pretty basic, but here's the thing. He may have matured a lot since season one. He may not have every bit of crassness that he had in the first season, but he still throws in a good quip every episode, and even if it's in multiple scenes, I think that he is a character that still is able to have fun and enjoy himself despite how much he has matured. And I love the moments where he comes back after killing Cicero and he and Varinus just act like it's just another Tuesday, another day's work done, and nothing was wrong. The scene where he's telling Caesarion about what his true lineage is, and I just love just Ray Stevenson's comedic timing on all this. I think he's up there with James Purefoy on MVP actor of the show. Rest in peace, Ray Stevenson.
All right, guys, and final question of this portion of night. Best character of season 2?
I think the best character in season 2 is Varinus, because admittedly, my memory might be kind of fuzzy on season 1. I feel like there wasn't a whole lot of a character arc that Varinus went through. It felt like he was kind of like the stable figure in the show. Like he tried new things, and like things got better for him and things happened, but I feel like his like baseline, like core personality, like remained the same. But this season, I feel like he went through like 2 or 3 like huge paradigm shifts. Like it was a lot. It was an intense character arc with highs and lows and improvements and regressions, and it was great to watch, and I'm sad that it's over.
Well said, Cole. My best character for season 2 is Marcus Vipsanius Agrippa, loyal, romantic, soft boy, warlord, to quote George R. Martin. I've always agreed with William Faulkner. He said that the human heart and conflict with itself is the only thing worth writing about. And that's Agrippa, to a T, who ultimately decides to do the quote-unquote honorable thing of leaving Octavia, and it's obviously at a massive personal cost, but gosh, is he compelling to watch.
My best character is Mark Antony. As Kay already said, we kind of get to see him reflect on his lifestyle a lot in season 2. This is a season where Mark Antony is expressing the most vulnerability, and it is mostly because this is the moment of his life where he is the most vulnerable. And I think that it's kind of one of those things where you go back to season 1 and you see where Antony is at versus where he ends up at the end. It is a genuine character arc that I am very interested to go back and revisit if I ever did revisit HBO's Rome.
Yeah, I also think the best character of season 2 is Mark Antony. And again, for points that BP has just mentioned and at points I think I beleaguered on in the last episode as well. Yeah, it's just a very, very incredibly rewarding thing to see a character so constant with like his emotions and how he is as a person, and to finally see that all like crumble away in the sparing moments we get, I find to be incredibly rewarding, and I'll leave it at that.
And speaking of leaving it at that, that is, believe it or not, a wrap on the questions we had specifically to season 2, but join us next episode in which we will talk about our thoughts on HBO's Rome, the whole series as a whole, as a little bit of promo here at the end. Listen to the main series of Death of the Roman Republic, chapters 1 through 20. At this point, you know, I guess the end of the Death of the Roman Republic is spoiled for you if the title of the podcast didn't give it away, but you can learn more about the context of the episodes and see more about what Octavian's rule was like and the circumstances in which Caesar and Pompey even rise to power and all that jazz. Who else has something to promote?
You can follow my podcast, the BP Movie Review Hour, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
I don't have anything to plug.
No. I'll just say, God be with us all.
Interesting.
Ominous.
With all that being said, friends, Romans, countrymen, join us next week when we review the whole series, and peace be with you. And I hope you enjoyed the show.